Our new bestie has changed how we track our investments. Why have over 400,000 investors chosen ShareSite? It's simple. This online investment dashboard for your investment portfolio supports over 500,000 stocks, ETFs, and funds, plus integrated with more than 200 platforms, ensures your entire investment portfolio is organized and accessible in one place. Move beyond the limited insights from brokerage statements. ShareSite offers a comprehensive view of your financial performance, including analyzed reports, dividend gains, and the impact of currency fluctuations, all through intuitive graphs and visualizations. But here's the best part. For the investee besties out there, ShareSite is offering a special deal. Save 4 months when you purchase an annual premium plan. It's time to dive deep into performance metrics, streamline tax reporting, and share your portfolio with ease. Join the link in the episode description to sign up to ShareSite now and transform your investment experience. Today's Thursday, which means we're bringing you Girls at Startup, a weekly series where we spill the tea on how to create a seven-figure side hustle because no one saves their way to wealth. You're joined today by a seven-figure business owner, Sim, and with me is Maya, a solopreneur.
Ooh. Kia ora, Sim. Hello.
Now, if you are wondering why Maya reacted like that, you have to go back and listen to last week's episode, but we're solopreneurs.
Yes, we are. Well, I was going to say little businesses, but no. Solopreneur, I love that. Thank you, Sim.
Little teams, big businesses.
Put that on a t-shirt, babe.
Would you buy it?
Yeah. I'll model it. You make them and then I'll model it.
That sounds like a lot of work for me and you just being pretty.
Anyway, how are you, Sim? Kei te pihia koe?
I am good. I'm so excited for this week's episode, though. I've never loved a topic more than community building.
No, you haven't. You are literally the spokeswoman for building a community online. And I mean, it's worked out pretty well for you.
I worry that I talk about it too much and then I'm like, wait, we only do this podcast once a week and I know that people don't listen to every single episode and get to like write it all down and memorize it, but I love talking about community building because it's, you know, kind of changed my life.
Yeah, and I honestly don't think that you can talk about it too much because you're literally sharing your secrets and how to do it and why it's important. So you've grown and created two large Instagram accounts, The Indian Feminist and Girls That Invest. Both have over 200,000 followers. Girls That Invest is just under 300,000. Very exciting. So someone might say that you have a knack for building communities online. Yeah?
Maybe.
Just a little. And as someone who is working on building their own community online with Wellbeing with Maya, this is purely opportunistic of me because I wanted to kōrero. I wanted to talk about how to build and nurture an online community using social media, which is one of your expertise. So I need this. I'm sure a lot of other listeners also need this. So please, Sim, spill the tea on all things building and nurturing a community online. I'm very excited.
Do you remember when in like 2020, so 4 years ago, you and I used to sit down together and you used to be like, Sim, I want to build an Instagram account. And I was like, yeah, one day I'll sit down and I'll like teach you. And you're like, yeah, sounds good. And then we never did it.
Yeah.
I guess today is finally the day.
Today, the day is here because I've been asking for this for 4 years and now finally everyone else gets to listen in on it and benefit from it as well. So, Sim, what are the key things we need to know when building a online community?
If I was building an online community from scratch today, 2024, and I had zero followers, I think the first thing that I would do is figure out what it is that my community is going to provide people and how can I make that so clear and so obvious? Because like I kind of hate it, but the attention span of the world of consumers just gets worse and worse, like every year. Like, I would say it was a little bit easier when I was starting with the Indian Feminist, which, by the way, went up to 300,000 followers at one point.
Oh.
But, you know, that was easier. Attention spans were real. 2016, golden age of attention spans. And then I started Girls I Invest in 2020. Like, pandemic had just hit. Attention spans were, like, I would say even heightened, if anything, because people were kind of just, like, intensely worried about the meaning of life and the world in itself.
Yeah.
And then now it just gets harder and harder. So what I would do with communities in this time, in this day and age, is how do I make it very clear what I'm trying to teach? So, for example, with Girls That Invest, on the Instagram account, on the bio, the first thing that we say is what people should expect out of it. So it's, we're the number one investing education platform for women with 7 million downloads. So people know straight away, we teach investing, we're good at it, millions of people have listened in. Straight away, value prop. With Miss Simran Kaur, my other Instagram account where I talk about like growing my business and all my like side hustles and that, the bio keeps changing a little bit. I'm like trying to test out a few ideas, but also things like teaching you how to build a seven-figure freedom-based businesses, or teaching you how to be a seven-figure solopreneur, or teaching you the behind the scenes of creating seven-figure brands. Like straight away, people know if I join this community, even if it's like a community of 10 people, what am I going to learn from it? And what's different about her? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So straight away, it's in one sentence, super clear. Straight off the bat, people know what to expect when they are on your page.
Absolutely. Second thing, you didn't really used to have to do this back in the day, building communities. Like I was really comfortable with making tweets and then taking the tweets and then putting them on Instagram. And that was my way of growing a community by sharing my hot takes in tweet format. Now we are video first, which love it, hate it. I wish it wasn't.
How do we feel about that? Just to a small tangent.
I hate video.
Yeah.
Why? Like, I don't want to be on camera.
Yeah.
I don't want my children to like want, I don't want them seeing mom like, I don't know, doing my makeup and being like, so story time with Sip. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's fun now. It's going to be cringe when I'm like 40. I don't like it.
I think for us, because like social media has always been static posts. So that's what we've always been used to. And now it's just like, oh, okay, I'm doing like a sit down video while I'm doing my hair and all of that kind of stuff. Like I'm doing that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like the digital footprint is just huge with video. And at least like people need to understand we were the generation of static Instagrams. We were the generation of the perfect angle to hide the mess in our room. That is what we were used to.
Yeah. But I still remember, oh, sounding old, when like stories came to Instagram and it was like, oh, holy cow. Like what's this? What's this new thing? And now it's everywhere. Yeah. Anyway.
No, I agree with you. And I love stories because I was like, yes, it's video, but it disappears after 24 hours.
Yeah. There are highlights.
there are highlights. But yeah, so video first is what I would do. And what I would start doing is just sitting down, making a TikTok. TikTok's probably your best bet if you don't have anything, any community, any like recognition or brand awareness. Like if people don't know you, TikTok's the place to like start having people find you, and just sharing like facts and information and things that you have done in your personal journey related to your topic, related to your industry, related to how you think. So for Maya, like while being with Maya, Maya's obviously in the space of like how to live a better life, a healthier life, but not just like with food or not just with working out, but like holistically. And that can include like meditation, it can include like natural ways of healing, it can include like, you know, sitting down and like unpacking your mental clarity. And that's really an area that
you know, if you look into it, you're probably going to find a couple of people that talk about it. So then Maya would have to figure out, well, what's my value proposition? What's my thing that makes me special that a community would want to join me in? And I think there's a lot of things that you have. But if I was in your shoes, or if I was like someone that was an audience member, I would look at you and be like, okay, but you bring one, a holistic view on health, and you also view health through an Indigenous lens. We don't really have a lot of people talking about it in that way. And, you know, studies show that that's actually, it works really well. And the outcomes, health outcomes of Indigenous healthcare are like not something to kind of like throw to the side. And so it's like, okay, well then how can we actually incorporate that into our modern lives? And there's people looking for that. And so that would be who your community is, and that's who you're talking to.
Yeah. Well, as you were saying that, I went to go look on my wellbeing with my Instagram page to see what my bio was. And it's like literally that: wellbeing through a Te Ao Māori, which is a Māori worldview, wellbeing through a Te Ao Māori and holistic perspective. And what are maybe some tips for people who are like, okay, I want to be in the wellness space, but I'm not too sure what, like, I guess my niche is or unique selling point is. Do you have any tips for helping people to kind of come up with ideas for that? Because, yeah, like just for me, because this is literally something that I'm so passionate about, it's why I'm studying population health, is to help to improve equity for Māori within the health system. So naturally, I was just like, this is what I'm so passionate about. But for others, they might be a little bit not know how to pinpoint it.
Yeah, of course. So what I would do in your case is I am on your Instagram and I've clicked on your reels and I'm just looking at your reels and seeing which ones have done better. You know, some have a couple of thousand, some have a couple of hundred in views, and your best performing one that I can see right now is the one with you reading Aroha, and you're talking about how like rest is productive and slowing down and taking time for yourself is important. So that tells me one thing. That tells me the most viewed and commented and engaged piece of content that your community has loved is content about still being productive. They still care about it, but like rest is a form of being productive. So these are people that you can maybe take some information from and go, okay, so maybe my content needs to be around how well-being can actually still make you productive and leave a happy and healthy life. And your content's probably not going to be like, quit your job and sit in a forest and like vibe it out.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trying to be monks.
Yeah.
We're just trying to be like normal people that lead healthy lives.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That is such a good way to analyze, like do your own kind of analysis on your own content.
Absolutely. The second one that you did is the one where you're like introducing yourself. You're like, you know, kia ora, my name's Maya. I live in New Zealand and I'm passionate about this and I'm reclaiming my native language. And people have commented just like how much they like this. That's just more of an informative post about you. So I guess share more of you. That's really helpful. But the other one that did well, the third one, was talking about how you recovered from burnout and your favorite form of therapy was being in water and being like connected to nature. And so people want to know different ways besides sitting down with a journal, besides going to therapy, besides, you know, Western medicine, which works. And like, we're not here to say it doesn't work at all, but like, what are alternative free ways to deal with burnout? People are looking for that and they've come to you. So now you've got two things that you know that work and you just double down and make more content on that, and you're going to attract more and more of that community, and that becomes your community.
That is literally exactly what I'm going to do. Thank you so much for that. It's actually funny that you mentioned that as well, because from me talking about burnout, because I've made a few posts about them as well, is that someone has reached out to me to talk about what burnout is, and they're like a online magazine or something like that. So I'm actually going to be I'm talking with someone next week about it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I just kind of, I didn't actually like connect the dots and just like how easily you did that. So thank you. So to summarize that for people is to post content, kind of whatever you would like, which is kind of what I've been doing, with the people community in mind that you want to help, the problem you want to solve, and then reflect on your content and see what the best performing pieces are and knuckle down on specifically what those kaupapa are, what those subjects are, and just kind of produce more of that content because people enjoy it.
Yeah, because look, you could have, like, if I had to guess, if you had never posted anything, I would have guessed that the content that would have done well for you would have been things like, you know, how to use nature to relax, or different forms of, like you really love, I can never pronounce it, naturopathy, like naturopath.
Yeah.
Naturopaths.
Yeah.
Like, you like naturopaths, which
love.
Maya and I disagree on that, but Maya likes them.
How do you not know? For me, because
you know,
I was
the science.
No, there is so much science around it. It's just, again, like Sim said, it's not saying that Western biomedical medicine isn't good or anything like that. It's how we save so many people. But that one specific mode of medicinal healing is targeted towards when you reach disease. And so for me, holistic and naturopath, holistic, you know, bunny ears, alternative modes of hauora, of health, is more preventative. And so it's, you know, with the, instead of the ambulance at the bottom of the hill, it's ambulance at the top to help prevent these health issues, which so many people have, and then they become chronic illnesses and then early mortality and all of that kind of stuff.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And I respect your opinion, and I'm with you, and I agree with you. And I thought that that stuff would have been the stuff that you would talk about more, and people would be like, you know, teach me more about, like, what, like, teas do you recommend, or like, what natural plants and things should I be looking into? Like, if I had to guess what would have done well, I would have been like, oh, that's the route you're going to go down. But this is just proof to me that, like, the concept of try lots of things and then see what works is the best way of doing it. Because you tried lots of different things, you talked about lots of different aspects of health, but you were able to figure out that the best performing ones were actually things around, like, holistically dealing with burnout and preventing burnout and looking at that from, like, an Indigenous lens. And so you've put out into the world all the things that you like to talk about, and then the world has come back to you and said, this is what we really, really need right now. And so now you know what your community needs, and you can actually double down on it and help them.
Okay. I think that was a really good breakdown of how people can curate their content using social media. So jump onto TikTok when you're first starting out to get that kind of big, more eyes on it, really. And then slowly start to curate your content through what is performing well. For me, I was nervous about just, again, being online and being cringe. I saw you posted a reel last week about, on Miss Simran Kaur, about just posting the cringe. Like, how can we get over, especially people in their later 20s and 30s, wanting to create content online but having to just cringing at the videos that we're making, because that's what performs well.
Why did you mention age? What does age have to do with it? Do you think you shouldn't be posting in your 20s and 30s?
No, it's more so because social media for us was super static. And so there was none of, like, posting videos on social media is new to us, whereas Gen Z, that's all they've known for social media. But for us, we're like, oh, dancing on the internet, like, even though we do dance, but those are more like home videos, kind of funny things with your cousins. So how can we get over that? How did you get over it?
Well, first things first, you don't ever have to make content that you don't want to. Like, don't feel like you have to make something because it performs well, because that will hurt. Like, you'll never feel authentic if you're like, I'm literally just posting this because the universe wants me to, or I'm doing it for Meta. Like, if Mark Zuckerberg tells me that I must, like, do a get ready with me, like, so be it. And you don't have to do a get ready with me to reach the people that you want to reach. You can, there are still other ways of like making content online where like there's people that even do what's called like the faceless trend, where they'll have a video of the like chopping onions or typing on a laptop, but their face isn't in the shot. It's like covered. And so you don't have to be in the content anymore. It does make it harder to grow if you aren't personable and people can't see you, but it's not impossible.
For business owners, every transaction is more than just a swipe of a card. It's the culmination of your hard work, dedication, and commitment to your customers. That's why I'm excited to share with you a game-changing solution that's simplifying the way businesses like yours accept payments. Introducing Tap to Pay on iPhone, powered by Stripe. Contactless payments has never been easier. You can seamlessly accept contactless payments directly from your iPhone, and the best part, there's no additional hardware required. Think about it. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe cater to businesses of all sizes, empowering them to accept payments right from their iPhones. It's a game changer for businesses looking to scale quickly and stay flexible, with quick setup that takes minutes, not days. So, how can Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe benefit your business? It's simple. Increased revenue, expanded reach, and enhanced customer experience. It's a win-win-win. To learn more about how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can transform your business, visit stripe.com/tapiphone today.
So that's the first thing. If you don't want to do something, don't feel like you have to do it for Zuck. He doesn't dictate what we do.
No. And the trends don't dictate what we do either.
Trends can help you get there faster, but they're not the only way to grow. Second thing, to get over the cringe, is think about the net effect of what you're doing. Am I making a video of me sitting down, or like, am I making a video of me walking around the streets of New York? Like, I had a friend come over and for the day they helped me like walk around New York and took lots of like videos of me doing it so that I could use it for content later, like B-roll content. Like just, I wasn't talking to the camera. It was just like me walking down the street and they were filming it. And later we were going to put text over the videos and that would be content for Girls That Invest. And I remember saying to them, I was like, I used to be an optometrist. I was like to my friend, I used to give people sight. Like, I used to do something productive to society. And today you are walking around with me in the streets of New York, getting me to cross the road and getting me to sit at a park bench and look to the side. I used to have a 5-year degree. I had an honors degree in this. I was in research papers.
You dedicated 5 years to study. And hey, first of all, you are definitely making an impact. But I get what you're
saying. And what I had to grapple with myself, because my friend was just like shocked and they were, like, they literally just said nothing. They were like, okay, anyway, can you please like look over longingly to the left?
Yep. And close your mouth.
Oh my God, the amount of times I was told to stop talking. But what I had to do, I had to come back and sit with myself because I really was having an existential crisis that day. I was like, I make reels for a living now? Is this me? Is this what I am?
You know that that's not all you do, but carry on.
But like, that's what you think. And that's what you, I guess, are alluding to, the cringe of like, is this what I do now?
Exactly.
And I had to say to myself, yes, I am making videos and reels, but this is for the greater good of this message and this community that I'm trying to build. And if I have to make a reel for someone to then find Girls That Invest, for them to then join the newsletter and get free weekly updates about investing, or to find the podcast and listen to the episode where we're like, hey, Bitcoin is going up, this is what you should know about it. And then they go off and actually invest and create a difference in their life, and in 10, 20 years' time, live a completely different life than they were going to because they found that one reel, I'm okay with it. Like, the net outcome of me creating content online is positive, and I will always feel like 5% cringe for every single piece of content I make, but 95% of what I feel is like happiness and pride because it's having a real effect. And so in your case, if I was like Maya, I would say, yeah, I do feel a little bit cringe being like, hey, honey, can you film me walking into the ocean?
No, literally.
I love you. Yeah. Like, you are my husband. This is what you signed up for. While being with Maya was created when we were engaged, so you knew this was coming.
Yeah.
And you might feel a little bit cringe doing that, but think of the, like, right now, the 20 people that see it and go, oh my God, I just actually need to find my thing, my connection with nature. And they do it, and it actually makes a difference in their lives. And you know the impacts, you know the stats and the studies of what difference it can make if you take care of burnout early.
Eh.
That's worth the little bit of cringe.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I'll happily get my husband to film me walking around Kirikiriroa, walking around Hamilton somewhere pretty or something, if it actually does, with the hope that it connects with someone and gets them to reflect on their workload and to slow down and helps them with burnout. Because, oh man, burnout sucks. But I get what you mean. And it's thinking about, okay, yes, I might feel a type of way about this, filming this, but think of the bigger picture. Think of how it will positively impact your community that you are focused on building.
Yeah. I'm not here to say you can't feel cringe or you won't feel cringe or that I don't feel cringe. I'm not here to be like, completely get rid of the feeling or squash it or pretend it doesn't exist. There will be times where you feel that way, even when you have like a completely like roaring company. There will always be moments. Like, I know a creator that I've spoken to a few times. Her name is Miss XL. She has a multi seven-figure business where she teaches people how to use Excel to do, I guess, like, I'm not a corporate person, do Excel things, like to do them better, to do them faster, to do them quicker. And she sells them to like companies and workshops. And it requires her to make TikToks of her dancing with like Excel videos playing on the top half of the video where she like changes a few buttons and then it reorganizes. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't think that that's what she thought she was going to do when she was 10 years old.
No, is educate people on Excel through dancing on TikTok.
But multi seven-figure business. She has a team of like less than five. She's retired her husband. They have their dream, beautiful like mansion in, I think, Arizona. And she just travels the world for fun now. And like works a little bit too. But she's living the life.
She's set.
She's set. But imagine if she was like the positive outcome of helping all these people learn how to do Excel is not worth it because I'm scared of doing a little like shimmy for a video.
Mm, that's a nice reminder, Sim. And I just have one more partai about hooking people into your accounts. Is it through, I'm just thinking, posting content that is filling a market? And how do we get the kind of people coming in?
One thing that has always worked, and this is like not a new phenomenon, this is something that has like existed since the beginning of time, but I call it the zero to hero storyline, which is where you showcase like you were in their shoes. The person listening, you were burnt out once. You felt like really hopeless. You hated, you had Sunday scaries every single Sunday about going to work on Monday. You were at point zero and now you have come out the other side, or you are in the process of coming out the other side. And if they follow you along, they will learn that journey as well. For me, for the Indian feminist, it was, you know, me sharing, hey, I used to be really unsure about, you know, gender equality, or I used to be really uncomfortable with like having a voice. But now I'm this loud, outspoken South Asian. And that at the time was like, to call yourself a feminist was quite literally the F word back then. It was, people would be like, I, you know, I'm a humanist. I'm an equalist. Like, no one would say feminist. It was like, shut up.
Yeah.
with girls that invest, it was, you know, at one point in time, even I didn't know how to invest. I had lost money. And then I learned how to invest. And now I am an investor. And I've bought my home, my first home from investing. And this is how I've gotten from like zero to hero. And let me teach you. So whatever content that you make, you're going to be showing people like, I was where you were. And this is where I am now. And I'm going to teach you, or I'm going to help you by following me. You're going to learn how I got there.
Mm.
And that's how people are going to follow along.
Yeah, because you know firsthand what it's like. You can share the tools, the resources, the learnings that you have to help others.
Exactly.
Huh. Zero to hero.
I heard it once. I heard a creator say it for like a coaching business that they did. And I was like, I do not care to be a coach, but this is really good marketing. Like to be like, I was once a 9-to-5 employee slave, and then I became a coach, and let me teach you how I got there. And I'm like, never, but I see what you've done here, and I'm going to use the same like marketing technique.
I'm going to use the marketing technique, but do it in a way that's more authentic to me.
God forbid I ever talk like that. But yeah, well, I hope that's been really helpful. I feel like we could probably keep talking about this, and we'll probably do more episodes around nurturing communities and building them, because it was never going to be filled within like a 30-minute or like 20-minute slot.
No.
But I have to say, Maya, now that you are actively growing Wellbeing with Maya, your questions are so helpful because they're like actually specific to you. And I can like actually see really useful answers coming out of me.
Because you're like, oh, okay, I see this. And then this is how you can improve this. And this is like a little trick that I've done for this thing. I see. Okay. All right. So it needed to take 4 years.
Yes, it needed to take 4 years for this conversation to happen.
Yeah.
And obviously this conversation was only going to happen when I could put like two ads in the middle of it.
We got to keep the lights on, Faith.
We got to keep the lights on. You think that microphone was free?
No, I'm part of the lights. Thank you.
We got to pay you.
Yes, thank you. That was really helpful for me, Sim. I will be actioning those moving forward when I'm creating content. I'm sure it is and was helpful for those listening as well.
Oh, well, I'm glad. I hope you have felt like building a community is not as hard. You know, the idea of growing something to 300,000 people might sound really intense, but I've done it more than once. I've done them both times in less than 3 years. It is not 4 years. It is not impossible to do, even in this day and age. And if you've enjoyed this episode and it's been something that has helped you, if you feel like you've learned something from the Girls at Startup series, all we ask, we just want one thing, which is for this to reach more people so that more people can start these side hustles, more people can gain financial freedom, and more people can just have more control of their life. Because having a side hustle, being a solopreneur, being a creator, these are fantastic ways to get to the financial goals that you're after. So as always, please take a screenshot, put on your Instagram story, tag us. It means the world to us. And I'll see you next time, Maya.
Hey, Kuneda. Bye.
Bye.
And as always, to finish off with the disclaimer, Girls That Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please do your due diligence.